This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Kelly throws it, and he has Thomas for the touchdown.
On the Monday night game, 2018, when the New England Patriots come to Buffalo in October, the Buffalo Bills are going to retire your jersey, number 34.
Obviously, incredible humbling to have your number retired.
Mike Danger.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough home game.
Gene Battaglia.
But to me, that's always exciting.
It is.
This is the last of this current lottery format, as things will change next year.
And that means that the number one pick in the 2018 NBA draft goes to the Phoenix Suns.
The Boston Celtics have never lost a playoff series in a best of seven when they've taken a 2-0 lead. They're up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Final after a 107-94 win here in Game 2.
We have an Eastern Conference Final between the Washington Capitals, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That cross pass is difficult. A shot, they score. It's Kucherov. Looked like it went short side against Braden Holtby. It's another power play goal. They lead Game 3 now, 2-0.
Rochester sports leader, 95.7. ESPN.
Good afternoon. Pull up a stool and join us. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia is open for business. We appreciate you stopping by at AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPNRochester.com, our home online where you can stream ESPN Rochester, or the radio.com app. Let you take ESPN Rochester with you everywhere you go. Listen anywhere, anytime. Alongside Gene Battaglia, I am Mike Danger. Hey, Gene.
Full show today, buddy. This should be a lot of fun.
Bad we don't have anything going on. No. We're going to talk to a Buffalo Bill in the 5 o'clock hour, scheduled to join us right around 5 o'clock. Buffalo Bills rookie defensive tackle, Harrison Phillips.
You think he wrestled Sean McDermott yet? Think Sean invited him to the basement and
the
padded room.
Basement, yeah. With the mats laid down in the basement.
I want a piece of you, rookie.
Yeah. That definitely had to be at least an icebreaker, right? Hey, dude, you won three straight wrestling titles in the state of Nebraska as a high school student? Well, you're my kind of guy. Harrison Phillips, who a lot of people say looks like a young Kyle Williams, will be joining us.
I don't care what he looks like. If he plays like Kyle Williams, then the Bills have a find in the third round. So the Bills this week, kind of quiet out there, but there are rookies that are just hanging around, just getting some work in, Harrison Phillips being one of them. He'll join us later today in the 5 o'clock hour.
Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack joins us next hour.
Oh, big, big project, the Carrier Dome. Now, if you have grown up in Rochester, I'm going to guess at some point you went through the airlock at the Carrier Dome, and you took in a game. And you know what? It was really cool in the year 1980, all right, or 79 when it opened up. Yeah, it needs a little bit of work, and this is a massive renovation that's going to happen at the Carrier Dome. We'll get the details from the man in charge, the AD of Syracuse, John Wildhack, to lay out the plan here. What can fans expect when you go to a basketball game or a football game? Will there be any teams that get displaced throughout this whole renovation? It's not going to be done in one off season. It is a massive project, including a new roof, literally raising the roof there a little bit. So no more air-supported dome. And yes, there will be air conditioning now at the Carrier Dome as well.
Yes, one of the great ironies in all of sports will come to an end. I'm kind of curious as to his thoughts also as an athletic director for a major program, major university, his thoughts on legalized sports gambling. How's that going to affect the college game? John Wildhack will join us. Somebody else who's going to join us here in a few minutes that has no shortage of opinion and viewpoints on sports gambling becoming legal. ESPN's Doug Kazarian. You see him on SportsCenter.
Yeah, Doug Kazarian. You hear him on Saturdays on our station hosting Game Day. His background, he's from Vegas. Worked out there. Hosts a betting podcast. So how does this impact Vegas? Do states know what they're getting into? What's coming up next? Yeah, Doug is an expert on this, so I'm very anxious to be talking to Doug Kasarian coming up here in a little bit.
And while there isn't a lot of Buffalo Bills news to report on, there was one major announcement being made today that we should touch on. I know that One Bills Live just did essentially 3 hours on this very topic, but it's worthy of it. Thurman Thomas having his number 34 retired at halftime of the Monday Night Football game against the Patriots at New Era Field on October 29th. That, like, you needed another reason to go insane over that game.
Well, a couple thoughts here. Number one, and I don't know if they touched on this in One Bills Live or not, but the day they retired Jim Kelly's number, the Bills were down and out at that point, and they were playing a Seattle Seahawks team. And this is pre-Pete Carroll. The Seahawks were bad then, too. The stadium was half full in late November. Like, wait. This doesn't feel right. It was a ruse to sell a few extra tickets, and they didn't do that right when they retired Jim Kelly's number. They learned from their mistake, and it was a different regime, different ownership. But to retire Bruce Smith's number, prime time against the Jets, you remember that week two, and you know Greg Roman was fired the next day. That was Bruce Smith's night, and everybody came back for that. So can you imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like in Buffalo at night? Because not only are you going to have everybody all amped up and ready to go for the Patriots, but you're also going to have all of the Buffalo Bills greats from that great Super Bowl era coming back to support Thurman. If there's one thing that makes that team unique, Mike Danger, name me another team that never won a championship, but you flip the script ahead 25, 26, 27 years later, and these guys are all brothers today, so to speak. They are all very tight, so I would expect everybody to be back there that night for Thurman Thomas, that special night when number 34 gets, goes up on the wall, retired permanently. One other thought here too, Danger. We invite your calls at 454-ESPN. Let's put this in perspective. In 2018, who's going to lead the league in total yards from scrimmage? Who did it last year? Well, Todd Gurley, okay? So let's say Todd Gurley does that again. He did it in 2017, did it in 2018. He'll have to do it again in 2019. He'll have to do it again in 2020. That's what Thurman Thomas accomplished. Four consecutive years leading the league, yards from scrimmage. To me, yards from scrimmage is one of the most underappreciated stats in football. Doesn't matter if it's rushing or receiving. Thurman could do it both. Top notch. To me, that is a mark that is going to be very difficult to touch.
I think about what the league was like before Thurman Thomas made his impact on it, and it was a lot of ground and pound, up the gut, smash mouth kind of football. Thurman, with that ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, kind of revolutionized the game. You know, I would say Roger Craig in San Francisco was kind of the similar template, right? Where you just saw a guy catching a lot of balls out of the backfield, but it really kind of revolutionized the run game, and now you see many backs that have that ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, whereas before it was really just, you know, how big are you? Can you run between the tackles? You know, just a ground and pound kind of mentality. Thurman Thomas leading the league in yards from scrimmage for four consecutive years. I hope we get to see a running back someday that's able to accomplish that feat, because it would mean that they accomplished something great on our watch. We shouldn't take that for granted.
No, he was special. And if you have an argument where you want to say O.J. Simpson was the best running back all time Buffalo Bills history, okay, I'll listen to that, but to me it is Thurman. You could say LeSean McCoy is on pace for that. No, LeSean McCoy is a fine running back. He's not Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas, had it not been for Emmitt Smith, had it not been for Barry Sanders, he would have been celebrated as the, without question, best running back of his era. He just came along with a couple other great running backs at the same time.
Yeah, and deservedly in the Hall of Fame, and officially on October 29th, deservedly having his number retired at New Era Field during halftime of the Monday Night Football game against the Patriots. That's going to be what was already an insane scene is going to be even more insane. Like, you needed another reason to go nuts for that game.
They better win, right?
You would think. you would think. Yeah. We're going to talk some legalized sports gambling with ESPN's Doug Kazarian in a few, Gene. And I wanted to kind of pose this question to you and anybody at 454-ESPN, 454-3776, or on Twitter, at ESPN Rochester. My question is, who moves first in New York's legalized sports betting landscape? Meaning, where will you be able to go first to lay down some action on some sports?
It's going to be the Native American casinos, right? I would have to think, because even though they may not have legally checked all the boxes, and again, that's a little out of my scope, what are they going to do, right? I would think that they are already prepared, and there was a report that the Oneidas are preparing to go for this football season. In New York State, there's a bill right now that was sitting there that, okay, there could be in the Racinos. Well, I don't know when that'll happen, but I can tell you, but the Indian Nations, they will not have to wait for any bill to be passed. They'll just go ahead and do it. They'll do it.
Saw a story from Spectrum News, and this was based out of Spectrum Buffalo's offices, but the Senecas are the ones to watch. Consider that there's only so much gambling money out there. They're going to do whatever it takes to stay on top of gaming trends, not lose their market share. This is a huge, huge opportunity for their casinos. Now, the politicians are going to chime in, and they're going to remind them that sports gambling isn't included in their current deal between the state and Seneca Nation. But here's where you could see some action, because right now, the state and the Senecas are locked in an arbitration where they're trying to resolve a dispute over, get this, Gene, over slot machine revenue. So sports gambling could actually be the bargaining chip that forces everybody back to the table for some negotiation. They have an actual reason to get together with the state. The state could get, they may never get slot machine revenue again, but the state could get a percentage of that revenue from the casinos for sports gambling, should they all sit down and figure this out. So there might be a fast track for the Senecas because of this slot machine dispute that's already in place.
Or maybe the Senecas will say, we're doing this. Come after us if you want.
But that's right. Yeah. I mean, there is already kind of a strained relationship between the Senecas and the state. So the state might not see slot machine revenues ever again, but it might also just have to deal with them going rogue and doing their own thing and starting up sports gambling legally before the state can figure out how to get their cut of that.
Well, can you picture this? And if you've ever been to the skyscraper on the American side of the falls, right? The Seneca, I don't know what they call it, the Seneca Nation, whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, you go in there and it's turning back the clock. You know, everywhere it smells like smoke. But that's beside the point, okay? You would have to think they already have the blueprints, right? Hey, fast track some sort of gaming place where you could sit and watch a sports betting parlor. And we brought this up yesterday, but I had a real world situation. A guy we work with upstairs, many of you may know him, he's from Greece, Schmitty.
Hey, Schmitty.
He goes
hey, family,
out.
Your family, yeah, West Side.
He goes out every football season with his guys. All right. And Schmidt is, yeah, to Vegas. Well, he's going to Atlantic City. He's like, hey, he's telling me, like, I hadn't heard, hey, did you see Monmouth? Wow, Monmouth is all ready to go. Hey, we're going to go to Atlantic City. Got me thinking, wow. All right. So here's someone we know, the pride of Greece, New York, Schmidt, who is canceling a Vegas trip to go somewhere closer so he can lay some action, knowing that New Jersey is going to be up and running in those Atlantic City casinos. Atlantic City, they're a big winner here in all this. If New Jersey gives the go-ahead, that becomes all of a sudden the hot destination.
Suddenly, my summer vacation looks a little bit more appealing, doesn't it, Gino?
Is that where you're going? I didn't know that.
I think we're doing Atlantic City at the end of July. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send live reports. Don't worry.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Wait. I didn't approve Bill's camp. Did we work?
I'm not going to miss Bill's camp this year. Don't worry. Don't worry. No, the sports bar takes priority over my family overall. The sports bar overall for you, Gina.
Good. I'm glad that you have your priorities.
But it will be interesting to see. I think if you're looking locally, or at least regionally, keep an eye on the Senecas. Keep an eye on Seneca Nation there in Niagara Falls. Given that they've already got a little bit of a strained relationship with the state, they're either going to get to the negotiating table faster, or they're just going to do whatever they want and have the state try to catch up with them. Then the state will lag the way it always does. Here's the other thing to think about. And you mentioned the idea of, you know, rolling out the blueprints and creating a sports book. How do the Bills fit into all of this? Think about the Buffalo Bills and their situation, their stadium situation, their lease situation. By the time they're forced to explore that opportunity, building a new stadium. I mean, they get out of that lease in 2020, right? If they opt out of that lease, they can start having that talk about where and what it looks like and where we would build and here are the renderings and all that stuff. So within the next 2 years, we could be having that talk if they decide to opt out of their lease, which ends in 2023.
All right. And I'm just projecting. We brought up the NFL's integrity fee they want.
It's
like the real world mob, right? You're going to pay us an integrity fee. For what?
For nothing.
Well, the Bills lease is up. You don't have a deal with Erie County or ergo New York State. I mean, what state out there would be willing to pay an integrity fee? I don't know. I'm just wondering if that's when things like that will come into play, that all of a sudden the NFL gets a little bit more of the action here.
Well, where I was going to go with this is the Pegulas have to realize what a great day this is for the league. What a great day that is for any team within that league. You just saw a team in the NFL go for about 60% of what you paid for your team. So things are looking up. Your investment in an NFL franchise is not a lost investment. The Carolina Panthers owner, what did Tepper spend?
$2.3 million.
So that said, knowing that the value of these organizations with legalized sports gambling is only going to go up, maybe you're able to look down the road a little bit, look into the crystal ball, and think about how you can build not just a stadium, but an entertainment, shopping and entertainment complex. Not too different than what New England has in Foxborough.
I was just going to say, that's the one where old Foxborough was nothing more than a stadium and a field on Route 1. Hard to get to. One in, one out. Yeah. Well, it's now quite the complex where you have what's the mixed-use development danger. So that's the buzz phrase. For Buffalo, all right, we know the Pegulas have been buying up spots in downtown Buffalo. And I can picture a day where you go as a Bills fan to the 1 o'clock game, and maybe you just go to take it in, but instead of tailgating at four, you're going to walk across the sports book right across the street,
bang,
something like a 716, and watch the 4 o'clock games. You know what? I really like the Raiders plus the 3 in Denver today. Give me the Raiders. Something like that.
A complex that you can use for more than just 8 Sundays a year. You could go to a sports book if they were to build something. If they were to build one as part of a new downtown stadium
complex. Put it right in the stadium.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there. If not right in the stadium, but right next to the stadium. Just a way to get more revenue into your complex every day. Not just 8 Sundays a year with some mixed in concerts.
Well, see, that's where if I were running OTB or any of these outfits, that's what you've got to be looking at, because me as the consumer, that's what I want. I want something like Vegas, okay? I want to be around. I want to be comfortable. I want top-notch food and drink, and I want to watch the games. That's what I want. When you go to Vegas, you're willing to pay top dollar, and that's how I think the Pegulas should think. Is that build it top-notch, not lowest common denominator. Sorry, that's what some places come off as.
And how are you going to possibly get people to agree to get state money? How are you going to get state money to help build a complex like that? It has to be a complex. It can't just be the stadium. You have to offer more than just the stadium, right? Because we've seen time and time again that just building the stadium can be a drain. It doesn't really work out for the states that do that, for the municipalities that pour their own money into these stadiums. I mean, certainly the Pegulas are going to invest plenty of their own private dollars into renovating or into a new stadium downtown to renovate downtown Buffalo, to continue the renovation of downtown Buffalo. But you could probably get more people on board from a state standpoint if you had more amenities around the stadium. Shopping, entertainment, sports book, whatever it might be. You make it a complex and you make the stadium the crown jewel of this complex. It really is. If you're going to do it right. Go big. Go big. And with sports gambling being legal now, I think the Bills have the opportunity to do that. Sport is only going to get bigger. League is only going
to
get bigger.
I mean, it's going to be funny. We're going to the potential in Buffalo is to go from the worst house on the block to the Jeffersons moving on up in the big deluxe apartment in the sky, because that's what it's going to feel like, right, Danger? Because you'll have other teams looking with envy. How will the Baltimore Ravens look? Okay, they're kind of cornered, and if you've ever been to Ravens Stadium, it's right there. There's not a lot of room for development around that. Yeah, but here you have Buffalo now with all these extra avenues, and you could... Ooh, now you're getting me excited.
Yeah. And because of the events of this week, I think you have the possibility to realistically have that conversation and have people actually think, yeah, with the revenue that's coming in from sports gambling, yeah, we can give a percentage of that revenue to help fund a complex downtown Buffalo. Not just a new stadium, but an entire complex. Buffalo Bills Way, or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's an exciting time. We've been excited about it all week. I feel like we spent a lot of time talking about it. And, you know, love to hear your opinions on it as well at 454-3776. That's 454-ESPN. Up next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, we talked to ESPN's Doug Kazarian. You've seen him on ESPN Sports Center, anchoring Sports Center. He also covers sports betting for ESPN Chalk. And he's the co-host of the Behind the Bets podcast. So we'll talk a little bit more legalized sports gambling with ESPN's Doug Kazarian next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
The voice of the Bills, John Murphy, and Bills Wall of Famer, Steve Tasker, give you all the latest news from One Bills Drive. One Bills Live is your home for exclusive interviews, live updates, and in-depth NFL analysis. Murph and Tasker take you inside the locker and down on the sideline to keep you up to date with everything Bills. Right here, noon to 3, on the home of the Buffalo Bills. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Bone-crunching hits, backboard-shattering dunks, bat flips, and hat tricks on the sports leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Our purpose in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, to make you a smarter sports fan. That's why we talk to only the best and brightest, like ESPN's Doug Kazarian. You can see him, of course, anchoring SportsCenter on ESPN. He also covers sports betting for ESPN Chalk. The co-host of Behind the Bets podcast, joining us now in the Sports Bar. How are you, Doug?
Doing well. Quite the introduction. I appreciate the compliments. Thank you.
Oh, Doug, I got to imagine this was a busy week, 72 hours after this news broke. Just kind of an overview here from what you're seeing. How big a story is this, the legalization of sports gambling?
Well, I think it's for transparency purposes. A lot of people were lying across the board. The league just were so adamant about how much they thought it was such an ugly thing and all this, yet they knew very well and that they were capitalizing on all of it and the ratings, and the reason that the NFL was the biggest, most popular sport, was a large reason for that, was the sports betting. And frankly, fantasy is a cousin of that, not even a distant cousin. So finally we can stop the stupid narrative that it's such a disgusting business and it's a degenerate behavior. It's like, honestly, obesity is the biggest issue in our country. Are we going to start shutting down all the fast food restaurants? Or are we going to let everyone continue to be adult?
Yeah, Doug, I park my car in the same garage. I know exactly what you're saying. And I believe that, you know, we as a society should be able to regulate ourselves. And you know, yes, we're all going to enjoy a fast food burger from time to time. We're also going to lay down some action from time to time. And you mentioned fantasy football being a cousin. One of the first things I thought, as somebody who loves fantasy football, what does this mean for fantasy football? Does it increase the popularity of fantasy football? Does it decrease the popularity of fantasy football? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I don't think it's an either-or thing. I think everyone who is into fantasy sports can certainly see the connection to sports betting and vice versa. So I don't think it's an either-or thing. In fact, there's proposition bets in the sports betting world that there's certainly overlap there. And if someone is locked in on fantasy, then they're going to probably have a good inclination of, you know, those stats or whatever they pour over is going to definitely be applicable to sports betting, frankly. So whether it's LeBron points tomorrow or Friday this weekend, or if it's, you know, a baseball game, a pitcher's, you know, splits and day versus night, home versus road, it all is part of the Venn diagram.
And Doug, when you hear about players who actually play in fantasy football, being that fantasy football was considered legal, what's going to stop players from participating in legalized sports gambling? I guess I don't think that there's going to be any kind of scandal because this has been going on anyways, but how do you think players are going to react to the news of this week? What changes in their world?
Well, I don't think anything, because just what you alluded to, there are some estimates that say there's $400 billion bet illegally with offshore books and bookies. So if it's being done, it's already being done. Now, there'll be some supplemental action that is now above board and legalized, but no player is going to bet on his own team or his own league. That's against league rules, not against the federal rules. So players who are, let's say a baseball player wants to bet on tonight's NBA playoffs, he's probably already doing that through a bookie or whatever, but he's not doing anything unethical in terms of betting on a game that's not right.
Doug Kasarian, you hear his work Saturdays during game day at ESPN across all platforms. Our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Doug, a guy we work with here, and this is a light bulb went off in my head today. He was talking about how every fall he and his buddies will go to Vegas and go on a golfing trip, and this year they're going to change it up and go to Atlantic City, knowing that, okay, by the time that football season goes around, Atlantic City will be in step. That being said, I mean, if you could see dollars moving out of Vegas, how nervous is Vegas overall that the rest of the world is caught up, or has Vegas, the industry out there, been preparing all along for this day?
Everyone I talk to in Vegas, all my contacts, sportsbook directors and whatnot, are very excited for this. This is a win for them because a couple things. They can expand their brand nationally, which is a huge financial incentive to do that. Also, it is just an overall win, and they're passionate about the business. So any sort of red tape they may have and hiccups they may have encountered along the way, they might get some smoother sailing on that front. Now, if you think about it, and the reason they're not too worried about it, how many times do you just fly to Vegas to bet on sports? Yeah, there's a couple sports dominant weekends like the Super Bowl or March Madness, but for the most part, people go to Vegas for a lot of other reasons, the entertainment, whether it be shows, restaurants, golf, pool scene, weather, if it's during the winter or something like that. So sports betting is one of the options for these people who, the tourists who go to Vegas, but it's not the sole reason they're going there. It's like the other things I mentioned, debauchery, escape from reality, whatever it may be, and that sports betting is a necessary evil for some casinos. So with that being said, they're welcoming it with open arms because the net is a net win, despite those maybe sports-driven weekends that you mentioned.
Covering sports betting for ESPN Chalk, Doug Kasarian is joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Doug, recently, in the last few weeks, actually, we've been reading stories about the Vegas Golden Knights and the kind of drain that they have been and the losses that Vegas has been taking because of their local team's performance. Will franchises in states that make gambling legal see a similar kind of drain from their local teams if they have that kind of output? What is your take on what the Knights have meant to Vegas in their inaugural season?
Well, that's a great question. I'm actually pitching a story on that and how the odds makers are going to approach that, because what odds makers can do really easily in their sleep is something like tonight. Warriors, Rockets, they have a power rating system. Very easy to make a line, right? We know how to do that. However, when it's something unconventional, that's the unknown. For example, last summer with Mayweather and McGregor, like they didn't know how to book a line for a guy who's never boxed before.
Sure.
And the most popular, they just don't know what to expect. It's like when we talk about those fictitious matchups when the Sixers were terrible and trusting the process. What if the Sixers played Kentucky? What do you make the line? 10, 15, 20? We don't know. We have no reference point on this. So the Golden Knights, well, they really didn't have a reference point on this before. Yeah, they had the UNLV run-in Rebels, but it's not the same. So they were completely caught off guard by the overwhelming support the fans would have going to the arena. and just how successful they'd be. And the odds were wrong to begin with in terms of evaluating their power rating. Now, in New Jersey, let's say, you know, obviously you're going to have a lot of interest with the Mets, Yankees, Giants, whatever, Buffalo Bills, and all that, and the Jets. So will it be overwhelming? I think the key with the Golden Knights is that the lines were a little off, right? They didn't anticipate them being as good as they were. But now, will it be ridiculous ticket count, and then how do you treat it? Do you just trust the process if you're an odds maker and feel like, hey, the number's right, we're getting the juice, yeah, we're going to be a little lopsided here, but let's not get too cute. Sometimes we can do more harm than good. Get ahead of it, and you know, let's be careful here.
Yeah, Doug, if you were advising these states getting into this, and from where we said, oh, it's really easy to set lines. I mean, if you don't hire the right people in place, is everybody, this is a race to get this up and going. I mean, could you see states actually perhaps not getting the return here, or perhaps even taking a bath if they didn't hire the proper people to set lines correctly?
I absolutely do, because the hold percentage in Nevada last year was 5%, 5.1. So if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to have a high hold. You need to know when to be aggressive, when not to. People need to understand that the sports betting is really similar to the stock market. And if you have a bunch of amateurs getting caught asleep at the wheel on an injury here and there, or a trade, or a sharp line move offshore, they need to be able to adjust and position themselves accordingly. And it's very... there's a lot of finesse involved. So it's not just math, it's finesse, it's gut instinct, it's experience, like any other industry. So if they really want to maximize their profits, they're going to hire the right person, and that's happening right now in Nevada. Like, the number twos and threes of a lot of odds makers, sportsbooks, are getting poached to be the number ones elsewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Jersey's got to be on the phone trying to get some of those Vegas odds makers to come work for them in their state, knowing that that they're ready to go today. I'm curious, Doug, because we've been spending a lot of time talking about what this means for professional sports. What does it mean for collegiate athletics? What is the NCAA going to have to say about legalized sports betting in certain states?
Well, that's one of my favorite subplots, is like the NCAA and, you know what, like, the professional sports league, they don't have jurisdiction on this. The sportsbook betting industry does not need their permission. They don't need to be okayed on this, because all these sportsbooks need is a television and a box score, and they can run away with it. Now, in order to cooperate and maybe give them a small sliver, in Nevada it's called the federal excise tax, which is 0.25% instead of the 1% integrity fee. Like, there's no more integrity that's needed. These games are already above board, and there's no funny business in terms of the shadiness. It's all regulated. So moving forward, maybe they want to compromise and give them a 0.25% and a tax, or a proprietary fee, or just something like that, and maybe get some more advertising space and broadcast windows, or even in the arena on the program, or maybe even down the road some advertisements on jerseys. There's a lot of things that can happen in terms of cooperation between the two. And then you asked me about the NCAA. That does make things a little sticky, because I know things are going to bring up in terms of amateurism. But all this stuff was going on before the Supreme Court ruling on Monday, right? Like, $400 billion potentially was being bet illegally in the United States offshore with bookies. That's a very aggressive estimate, but a low estimate, like $150 billion with B as in boy. So all this stuff was already going on. Now they're just trying to make money off it. And maybe there's going to be a domino effect in terms of compensating players. And maybe, but I just don't think the people against paying players and all those reasons that they've given, whether it be scholarships, opportunity, whatever, that doesn't change with this ruling, like the counterpoint.
Yeah, that's actually where I was going to go with you. I was going to say, you know, if it is legal, if the NCAA finds a way to get a piece of some of that action, will we see a day where the amateur athletes, the student athletes, start getting compensated, knowing that there's all of this action around their performances on Saturdays or any other day of the week?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, it's just the nature of sports betting and all that jazz. Question is like, you know, what can they negotiate and determine cooperation so everybody's happy, everybody gets a slice of the pie? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. But I just do know that the sports betting community has the leverage, because they don't need permission.
Doug Kasarian, ESPN, joining us here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Doug, I thought it was cute that the NFL sent this letter and appealing to Congress, talking about integrity, and we hear these things about an integrity fee that the NFL might want, and you just kind of alluded to that, but really, does the NFL have much leverage when it comes to this sort of stuff?
Zero. They have none. They have no leverage. That their whole leverage ahead of time was, hey, we have influence with lawmakers. Hey, come to us, blah, blah, blah. But they don't. They don't have anything. It's like the league already got vetoed or whatever.
Well, Doug, could the league then down the road use their lack of an integrity fee or their lack of any slice of the pie against the states that want to build new stadiums or are looking for, you know, public? I mean, I'm trying to see how the NFL negotiates and whether or not this could hurt the states down the road if they don't cave into what the NFL wants, or if there is absolutely zero that the NFL has with this ruling.
It goes back to, look, the NFL does not have to, like, cooperate. Just because stuff is ruled not... Okay, so, like, the ruling comes down, that doesn't mean the NFL has to budge. Like, for example, you know, I'm just trying to bring an extreme example. Strip clubs are legal, but those aren't commercialized and brought in NFL games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the NFL, I don't think, allows, like, hard alcohol to be advertised during broadcast games of NFL games. Like, they still control their product. But just because something is not illegal doesn't mean they're going to be on board with everything. So giving them money, a slice of the pie, gets them to cooperate with allowing, like I said, commercials or a partnership, if you will, but a very small, subtle partnership.
Doug, I got to imagine you got to be yourself excited about this, because if I can draw an analogy, 20 years ago, we didn't have a guy like Matthew Berry. Now, I can't imagine, you know, setting my fantasy lineup without getting information ahead of time. With this story from ESPN for everybody, how is this going to change the way we consume sports news?
I was going to also ask to follow up on that. When will Matthew Berry become president of the United States? It's just a matter of time, right?
Well, what's funny is Matthew Berry is a close friend of mine, and people don't realize how smart he is in terms of, like, he's not just some, like, dude who's picking fantasy. Like, he's a very bright guy. He used to write in Hollywood, and he's had a very interesting career.
You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. I'm serious. I think he could be president someday. I know how smart that guy is.
You don't get to where he is in life without being a step ahead of everyone.
So that's right.
A very bright dude and a very good guy as well. Look, broadcasting can be very different, right? But I think it's going to follow the path of fantasy. I don't think we're all of a sudden going to have a point spread being the focal point of a broadcast. I just don't. Because it's just supplemental, like fantasy is, like anything is. Maybe should announcers be a little bit more aware of the point spread, a la Brent Musburger? Yeah, probably. But it's not, no, that's down the road. That's a few years from now. I don't think it has to be this huge sort of purpose and huge sort of focal point. Everything's going to be still the competition and everything. But, yeah, we may see some programming change on ESPN and things along those lines now that the stigma and the taboo label is going away.
Doug, I immediately thought of a company, and I'm wondering if you could see a world where there's a company with massive reach, a company with an app in pretty much everyone's phone, a company maybe like ESPN, that, you know, when you look at the app and you're looking at the previews of the games, you see a point spread, or you maybe play streak for the cash and you know, see all of the different prop bets that are out. Could a company like ESPN someday get involved in the legalized sports gambling business?
I don't see why not. Now, it is going to be interesting with our affiliation with the leagues and all that. I mean, that's something to consider, right? But, you know, I wouldn't put it past. Didn't we try the cell phone one year? Didn't we try that back in the day?
Yeah.
So the stuff. So we're willing to do cell phone. We should be willing to do this. But I think that's down the road. Again, this was just a removal of a ban. This doesn't mean that it's all of a sudden legalized. It's each state's appetite is going to be, you know, has to consider that and go from there. But it's certainly, like, again, this is not a negative concept. I've always said, you know, what's the difference between watching a game with a $50 bucket of beers and your buddies and having a $50 parlay with your buddies while watching the game? it increases the excitement or the stimulation, whatever. We pay for entertainment all the time that's not tangible. Like, we pay for things like food, right? We pay for even like a clothing, right? We pay for tangible things and we pay for food, but we also pay for experiences like whale watching. We also pay for, you know, double-decker buses, city tours, right? We're not leading with anything except some photographs. We pay for sports games. We go to a game and experience something. Betting $50 and losing is not losing $50. You spent $50 on whatever appreciation / exhilaration you get from that experience. That's all that's considered.
Wow, the whale watching poll. That's strong there, Doug. Yep. Yeah, going out to the Cape, man. Seriously, that is a great experience for kids. Doug, one last question. You're on the air here in the heart of Buffalo Bills territory. The Bills train right down the street from our studios. All right, so the Bills trade up. They get Josh Allen. From where you sit, what's your early forecast for the Buffalo Bills in 2018?
Well, I'm just surprised I'm on the horn here. Kevin Connors must have had a sick day or something like that. Because that's the only way I get involved. But no, I think, look, every conversation with the Bills, I think, has to start with the Patriots. It's just the nature of the beast. And I think, like, but as long as Belichick and Brady are there, I don't think the Bills are going anywhere. It just is what it is. But I like what they did with the draft. They have to be thrilled they got their quarterback where they got him. And I wasn't a huge fan of his, but I'm also not breaking down all the tape. I don't have the data points at my fingertips like the experts do. My biggest beef with all this is I'm sick and tired of ownership and GM at all these leagues, not just the NFL, not just these sort of quote-unquote bad franchises that are poorly run like the Sacramento Kings or whatever. It's just like, enough's enough. Find the 32 best GMs in football. Find them and stop messing up drafts. Stop botching things. Like, the New York Giants are going nowhere with this knucklehead at the helm. Why do I know that? Because he didn't wait the full 5-10 minutes for the draft. He turned in his pick after 5. With all these quarterbacks and Jets have already traded up and all this concern or whatever, you couldn't wait the next 5 minutes. Who knows what they would have offered? And you could have traded down and still got your guy. So why I completely disagree with going to get Saquon Barkley and drafting a running back at number 2 overall, just the meathead nature of you to do that and then laugh at analytics just shows you're not giving your fans the best chance to win. It's just that simple. So I just want intelligence, and I think these GMs need to have a better success rate when drafting and making trades.
Doug, just nailing Gettleman. Love it. Love it. So strong. Doug Kazarian, you see him on ESPN anchoring SportsCenter, covering sports betting for ESPN. Chuck, you hear him on ESPN Radio and the Behind the Bets podcast. I know we're going to be talking to you again in the future, Doug, because this story is only going to continue to grow and expand. And as it becomes legal in state by state, I hope we can have more conversations like we just had with you here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Really appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Doug.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me, and I'd love to come on anytime you need me.
Doug, the best. That was a great conversation. Did he just call Gettleman a meathead?
Yes. That just happened.
All right, Giant fans, 454 ESPN. What do you think of your meathead GM?
He's got a point. He's got a point. I mean, you know, look, I don't necessarily hate the pick of Barkley at 2. You know my man crush on Barkley. I got a little man crush on Saquon Barkley. I think he's going
to
be just fine.
Well, to his point, though, okay, say the Jets are sitting. You want to create the illusion. What did the Bears do? The Niners baited them into giving up extra picks.
Yes.
You mean to tell me the Giants couldn't have done the same thing with the Jets? If you're just sitting there, tick, and you're creating this illusion that you're going to trade out.
It's a strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no point to rushing in the pick right there. That's very old school.
Well, we're going to take the pick. We're going to take the player we like.
And maybe that's who you end up with in the end. But Doug Kazarian, if you jumped in late, we'll have that up online. That covered a lot of ground, Danger. And the fact that I thought Vegas would be nervous, uh-uh.
Everybody that we're talking to, yes. Every expert that we're talking to, we're asking about this. What do they say that this does? They're saying it does nothing. It changes nothing.
No, you can expand the brand.
go to Times Square. Any brand who's worth anything is in Times Square. Now, could you put a Caesars right in Times Square?
MGM.
I'm just imagining if you can franchise your brand in the biggest cities in America, yes, the companies that are in Vegas will love the future.
We should have known this was coming when Trump got elected, right? I mean, the guy had casinos. I mean, this is where we were going. We knew that. We realized this. We saw this. This is what we deserve. We've earned it. Legalized sports gambling.
Everybody make money.
Everybody. Go get yours.
But, okay. What Kasarian said, Danger, about the analogy of, hey, you're inviting guys over. And you've got $50 worth of beer, essentially, in front of you. You're going to pound that with your buddies, or you're going to put $50 down in the game. Is that an analogy for a guilty pleasure?
I've always viewed gambling as an investment in entertainment. If you're going to the casino and you're not putting down action on a game, you're just playing blackjack and you lose. Well, hey, I played blackjack for a couple of hours and I lost a couple $100, but it was fun. It was entertainment. Got some drinks, had some laughs, cried a little bit, leaving with the tail between my legs. But that was entertainment. That was fun. That's why you do it. I think you have to view it through that lens. I don't think there's any other way to view it through that lens. And I think the people that do partake understand that. And that's why I think when we talk to anybody about this, Doug included, what does this mean? It means nothing. It's been going on for years, decades. Doesn't change anything. Now it just legitimizes it. And the Vegas point is a big one. If you thought Vegas was going to be nervous, think again. Vegas has been sitting on piles and piles of money for years, and now they can expand their brands. Those casinos can go to Jersey. Those casinos can come to New York when it becomes, oh my God, Gino, come on.
Yeah, the MGM Sportsbook in Times Square.
Make it so. That will be an attraction.
Wow.
That will be an attraction. Good stuff from Doug Kasarian of ESPN. We'll have that for you on demand shortly here at ESPNRochester.com if you missed it, and you can hear it on demand. We got a busy afternoon for you here in the sports bar. We're going to play I'll Drink to That next, give you some provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. You can agree or disagree. You're always welcome to join us at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. John Wildhack, Syracuse Athletic Director, is on tap for the 4 o'clock hour. And also, while we're talking about ESPN, Dan Graziano put out an article earlier today, Gene, the quarterback depth chart confidence index.
Ruh-roh.
Want to venture a guess as to where the Buffalo Bills land on that list? We will get to that.
I'd say it's not in the top 10.
Probably not in the top 10. That's a safe bet. Yeah.
Safe bet. Right.
We will get to that here in a few minutes. Stay in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.